Amen. Well, perhaps you've heard of something called the coronavirus. This has touched everyone in every way. It is an unusual time that we live in. Standing here in the worship center, I can clearly hear the birds out in the courtyard. They are serenading us. This has touched our lives corporately unlike anything in our lifetime. Well, let me say in my lifetime. That's not true. I can't speak for the greatest generation. But the coronavirus has touched our lives. It's touched us financially, socially, and I believe it also has the ability to touch us spiritually. And so I've decided we're going to do a series of messages entitled, In God We Trust. Now, you may say, Jimmy, that's a layup. That's kind of playing to the current conditions. Well, maybe it is. But this is what I know, is in times like these, people who do not know the Lord, people who have not entered into a relationship with Him, people who may be exploring faith, they need good, reliable, and teachable information. And for those of us that are believers, we need to be reminded. We need to be encouraged. Because in days like this, there are uncertainties. There are fears that can creep into our lives. And so we want to be reminded not of anything other than what God promises us He will be. And so today we're going to look at Psalms, the 146th chapter and the 8th verse. This message has been rolling around inside of me now for about 3 weeks, and I wanted to bring it to you this Sunday morning where we can expound on it and drill down on it a little bit to help us be encouraged in these days of uncertainty. So let's look at that passage together. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. Now, over my lifetime, I've had a couple of friends who were deemed legally blind. And in a conversation with them and interacting with others, one of the things that we know is true is that when an individual has lost the ability to see, other characteristics, other senses are heightened as a compensation to that. People who do not have the ability to see tend to have a higher sense of hearing and a higher sense of smell and a more sensitive sense of touch. And so they have a compensation for what they do not have. Now, it doesn't replace it, but it does help them in a time of uncertainty and in a time of change. And so in days like these, the scripture says we can suffer from a blindness. Now, not a physical blindness necessarily, perhaps a spiritual blindness. And one of the things that we can be spiritually blind to is the pathway forward. What will it look like from here? Will this ever end? And ladies and gentlemen, we know that this will end somewhere, sometime. Now, the question is when? How soon? We don't know that just yet. And so we have a limited vision of how far the pathway will take us. I'm thinking about when we're driving in our vehicles at night, we turn the headlights on and we drive down the road. Well, the headlights can't reach as far as the end of the road. It gives us a certain space we can see, but we trust for what we cannot see. And in days like this, we can't allow ourselves to be blind to the pathway forward just because we can't see it all at once. I'm absolutely, positively convinced that one day, sooner than later, we will begin to move back to a life that will be similar to what we once had. Will it be exactly the same? I say no. It'll be a normal. It'll be a new normal. And you know, if we're really smart, if we're really committed, we can make it a better normal. The second is we can have a blindness in a limited comprehension. We just simply don't understand. In this day of the coronavirus, we don't understand really exactly where it came from. We don't necessarily know exactly how to catch it. I mean, there's things that we know, but there's a lot of things we don't know. Like, how long can it last on the bottom of a shoe? There's just questions, and we're finding these things out, but we can have a limited comprehension. Proverbs 3 tells us this, Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. In a time with limited vision, in a time with uncertainty, we can trust the Lord, and the Lord will make our pathway straight. It's important when the pathway is straight. When you get up in the middle of the night to go to the kitchen to get a snack, it's very important that someone didn't move the furniture, because you know what the pathway to your refrigerator may be like unless someone has moved something unknowingly to you. The Lord promises us that if we will lean on him, if we will trust him, not with just part of our heart, not with 50%, but with all of our heart and with all of our understanding, and if we'll submit to him, that means if we'll trust him, he will make our pathway straight, even in the midst of a time that seems no pathway is straight. We also we have a limited vision, we have a limited comprehension, we also have a limited control. I know there's a great sense of out of controlness right now, and it's valid. We can't control our jobs, we can't control where we go and what we do, we can't control how many people we have in our house. We are living in a time of limited control, and that can be a source of blindness. There's limited confidence. Now, you may be feeling fearful. You may be wrestling with anxiety because you don't feel confident about what the future holds. Well, my friends, I want to encourage you with this. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds it. And it's the same God who is yesterday, today, and forever. 1 John 5 tells us this. Who is it that overcomes the world? Who is it that will overcome these uncertain days? Who is it that can have confidence when we're feeling unconfident? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. When we believe in the Lord, when we believe in his Son, when we believe in his word, and we believe in his promises, then and only then can we be an overcomer and not just an endurer. My friends, I believe with every fiber of my being that this time of the coronavirus can give us as believers a sense of power and peace like we've not experienced. We can have a confidence that our God is willing and able to see us through. The blindness of the hour can also cause us to miss and to misunderstand, to misappropriate, to mistreat the people around us. Never before are we as in tune and sensitive about the people around us as maybe right now during the time of the virus. You go into any place and people are standing off. And I think it's okay. It's kind of funny a little bit. You know, everybody's kind of standing off. And every time someone kind of sees me and backs up off of me, I always default to, do I smell? I don't know. I just, you know, do I have a bad smell? And for my brother in Florida who thinks maybe they're only supposed to be washing their hands, no, you could go ahead and bathe. That would be really good. Go ahead and do that. But we can become blinded about the people around us. It can cause us to withdraw. In days of uncertainty, we can be very susceptible, there's the word, to withdrawing from people. Now, I know that legally we're supposed to be separated, and that's fine, but you can also withdraw emotionally, physically, digitally, and it can cause us to withdraw. One of the things I don't really understand about human nature, and I've wrestled with it too, is that in times of uncertainty and blindness, we will tend to lean out, we'll tend to withdraw, when we should really be doing the exact opposite. In the time of uncertainty is the time for us to lean in. It's the time for us to pull in tight, to gather ourselves together. It can cause us to undervalue people. And that undervaluing can cause us to take advantage of them. When you go to the grocery store, one of the ways we can find ourselves undervaluing other people is if we take more than we need. I was really proud of my bride the other day. She was out shopping and she was picking up a few things. She was shopping in what was left, and she came across an item that we needed, and she told me that she had wrestled with buying one or two of them, and she said, I know we only needed one, so I left the other one for someone else. You see, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves taking advantage. We're all in this together. We have to be very careful. The value of the other individual is not lessened because of our fear or our perceived need. If anything, the value of the other person should be elevated because we're in this together and we want to do what's best for other people as well as taking care of our own needs. It can cause us to overvalue. One is we can undervalue. The second is we can overvalue. That means we can trust the less trustworthy. You need to be very careful in days like this that you don't trust the phone calls that are trying to give you money. You don't trust the phone calls who are trying to work inside your credit cards. You have to be very careful about those who are out there trying to help you. You have to be very cautious about who you trust. We have to be very careful that we don't trust too much untrustworthy people. And they're out there, unfortunately. Also, I want to say this. We have to be very careful that we don't trust too much untrustworthy institutions. Now, are you saying, Jimmy, that you're anti-government? No, this is not an anti-government rant. What this is simply this. The people we need to trust the most are the people who are closest to us. We need to be able to lean in. We need to be able to trust. We need to be able to trust the institutions and the people that are closest to us because they are the ones who are living in closest proximity to what we're going through. So we need to do our very best to make sure that the institutions and the people that we're placing trust in are worthy of that trust. Let me also say this, is if you are a part of an institution, whether it's a grocery store or a bank or a government institution, then you need to make sure you're a person and an institution of character. You need to do what's right because it's right. It's not a political rant, but that's just my thought. There's a blindness in the hour for patience for the healing. When is this going to be over? I don't know. You know, we hope to be here by Easter. Our president made a statement. He hoped that we might be moving back to the new normal by Easter. Well, I have a hope for that, but Josh, I'm not getting any tattoos of that. I would go so far as to say this. We will not be in this building together on Easter. If we are, I'll be astonished. I just don't see it the way the things are right now. But you know, as much as I want to be here with you, I understand. And the beautiful thing is that Easter is not hindered in one amount. Oh, it froze up right there. In not one bit, because Easter is about a risen Savior. And our being here together, as wonderful as it would be, has no bearing on the truth of the empty tomb. And so one of the challenges that you and I face in times of blindness is having the patience for the healing. It's hard to be patient when you want things to heal up. Joyce Meyer says this, patience is not simply the ability to wait. It's how we behave while we're waiting. It's not just that you wait, because you know what? We're all going to wait. If you like baseball, like Jeff was talking about in the last hour, you will wait. If you like football, you will wait. If you like basketball, you will wait. If you like hockey, you will wait. The question is how will you behave while you're waiting? It's not just the waiting, but it's the way that we wait. Look what Psalms 27 says. I remain confident of this, that I see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. Be patient. The Lord is at work. Be patient. Our society, our medicine, our doctors, they're at work. Be patient. Excuse me. And then in times of darkness, excuse me, we need sight for the future. We need sight for the future. The presence of God. I had a conversation in this time, and they said, well, where is God? Why would God allow something like this? Has God abandoned us? Is God not able? The presence of God is everywhere all the time. And it's not always a feeling. Now, coming in here and you can, and even being with this limited group of believers, I want you to know there's a sense of God's presence here when they sing and they smile and we fellowship. But the presence of God isn't directly dependent upon how we feel. You may not feel like God is on the move. You may not feel like God is in control. You may not feel. But my friends, the Bible tells us that our feelings can betray us. What I have felt hasn't always been accurate to the truth. And we need to be very careful that we do not base the presence of God on how we feel about God's presence. It isn't always an easy pathway. Now, I have to say this to all of those prosperity preachers out there. How's this working for you? The presence of God doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. The truth is, life is a little bit hard. We're going to talk about that more in just a moment. But the presence of God isn't determined or measured by how easy things are going. We have to be very careful that we don't allow ourselves to go down that. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is present in every breath and in every day. The fact that you have lungs in your air in your lungs, the fact that you're watching me and listening to me is evidence that God is present. The Bible says, let's look in Romans, it says this, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities have eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood for what has been made, so that people were without excuse." When you step out into the sunshine today, God is present. When you hear that bird sing, God is present. When you feel the breeze, God is present. God is everywhere. You just need to be able to look for Him. I believe one of the greatest things that'll come out of this time of the virus is that people will look for God like never before. I believe that coming through this time, God will grow His kingdom. I believe that coming through this time, some of you who are watching this message right now will have a deeper, more intimate, eternity-changing relationship. Because God is present and at work. Now let's look at the help for the future. It says, He lifts up the bowed down. Life is a heavy load even in the good days. Amen? Josh, let me ask you this. Were you sleeping just as little before the coronavirus as you are now? Yeah, so it didn't change, right? All right. So life is a heavy load. And some days it's heavier and some days it's lighter, but life is a heavy load. And the Bible tells us that God will lift up the bowed down. In my mind, I see a weightlifter who's up underneath the weight and he's standing strong, but as that weight settles in on him and as he begins to grow tired and perhaps distracted, he can begin to bow down under the weight. God says He will stand up the bowed down. Ladies and gentlemen, He will stand up America again. He will stand up the world again. He will stand up Authentic Life Fellowship again. That is the God who we serve. That is the God who is on the job. That is a God who promises us that He will work even the time of the virus for good. He will lift us up when the events of life are heavy. Been ministering to people, and you know, one of the things about life is it never stops. You know that because if you take a vacation, your work doesn't stop, it just piles up. Well, in these days, you know what? Life goes on, and people are dealing with the same trials and tribulations as they would if there was no virus issues. So the events of life carry on, and we need to encourage them. I've heard of more than one person, actually. Senior adults, I've spent a lot of time, and I've actually had more than one senior adult tell me this, that the length of life had become burdensome. How many times have I heard a senior saint say, "Jimmy, I'm just tired. I'm just tired," because life is hard work. Let's look what Isaiah says this. In the West, the people respect the Lord's reputation. In the East, they recognize his splendor. For he comes like a rushing stream, driven on by wind sent from the Lord. A protector comes to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their rebellious deeds, says the Lord. The Lord will meet all of our needs, and he will stand us up no matter what is leading us to bow down. He also says that he'll help us in the future, and one of the ways he'll help us is he calls us to lean into him. This is the time we need to lean into God. This is a time like you have never experienced in your life. This is a time we need to lean into his word. What does God say? Now, I've had people say, Jimmy, I just don't have time to read the Bible. You've got time now. I just can't, you know. We need to lean into his word. There's 101 ways that you can engage with God's word today. You don't have to try to read an entire book. You can engage with God's word. You need to lean into what the Bible has to say to you. What God has to say to you through his love letter for you. Look what the psalmist says in 119. He says, Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Not you, Siri. We talked about the pathways earlier. The Bible says that God's word is a lamp unto our feet. If you want to be able to see God today and tomorrow, we have to turn the lamp on. We have to trim the wick. We have to keep the oil filled. It will be a light unto our pathway. We lean into God in his worship. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship isn't an event that happens here for 20 minutes on Sunday morning. Worship is a lifestyle. And that lifestyle is evidenced when we live and we love and we serve and we celebrate and we sacrifice because of what God has done, is doing, and will do for us. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not a 20-minute event. Now, that is worship. I'm not diminishing that. And I'm going to tell you, won't that be fun the next time we come together as a body of faith? I can't wait for it. But it's a lifestyle. It's an individual thing. You and I worship by the way we live our lives. And it's a corporate thing. Can I say this? The fact that you are sitting on your sofa in your recliner or wherever you are watching this service and engaging, this is a form of worship. And this is corporate worship. This is our worship through the Word of God. And so worship is very important. Let me say this. It's very important for you to make every effort to stay digitally, albeit connected to worship. On Sunday mornings, on Wednesday night, until we're able to come back to campus together, it's vitally important that you maintain that connectivity. His fellowship, oh, I'm so good, I jumped ahead. We got to stay connected. His work, I was visiting with Buddy the other day, and we were talking about just how far the video is able to go today. I don't know how many states we're touching right now, but what is happening right now is we have people who are connecting to this proclamation of the word. They're inviting people in a watch party, and so their friends are coming in to watch that watch party, and we don't know how far this is reaching. In my mind, it's like going fishing. Now, anyone can drive down to a lake and fish and put a boat on it, but it's only the really committed who will walk or hike into a tank that a truck can't get to. My friends, if we are faithful to the work of the Lord, in this day we will be able to reach into and fish tanks that have maybe never been available to us. I know there's one brother that's with us from Tennessee. We're so glad that you're there. We're thankful that you're connecting with the word of the Lord and the people of the Lord. And I hope that you're being blessed by this. We're looking for the purposes to be inspired. Now, I mentioned with you earlier about the social study. Now, I have to be honest. One of the reasons I did this was to be connected with people and to try to help build a sense of community during this time of separation. But another reason is this. As a sanguine personality, I like to be around people. I like to be in fellowship. I like to be in communication. And so this gives me an opportunity to do that. So in these days of uncertainty, I was inspired to try something new. And will it last afterwards? I don't know. We'll see. There was one thing called Mint Mask. It's been around for years, so I don't know. We'll see. But we need to be inspired to positive additions to our lives. What can we add to, or what are we adding to our lives that are positive? But we also can have positive subtractions. One of the things that I'm terribly curious about when we get back to the new normal is what things will we never pick back up? What things will we move down our priority list? Will we go right back into stalking every minute and every hour of every day to be doing something? Or will we grow accustomed to going, you know what? It's nice to be home. It's nice to sit around a dinner table. It's nice to take a walk. It's nice to ride a bike. There could be positive subtractions. We could be inspired to possible lifestyle changes, a change in our priorities, a change in our preparations. I have given serious thought, Andrew, to buying the largest package of toilet paper I can find, wrapping it in a hefty bag, and putting it in my attic. Does that make me a hoarder? Does that make me a prepper? I don't know, but I never thought I would live in my world where I can't find toilet paper. Now, don't hear me say I don't have toilet paper. I'm okay for now, but it may change the way that we prepare. This may be the greatest opportunity for you to understand how to prepare your finances. This may be a great opportunity of how to prepare for, and you fill in the blank. It's also a great opportunity for us to be reminded about the promises that we make. The promises that we make to the Lord and to others. The promises that we make to our missionaries and our ministry partners. It's a wonderful time to be refocused and recommitted to the value of our word as it pertains to promises. Also, we need to purpose to pour into others. Now is the season for opportunities to be the hands and the feet of the Lord, maybe like never before. Like I said, through this digital outreach, this is the greatest, easiest opportunity you'll ever have to invite someone to come to church with you. But also in the simple needs, mowing lawns, picking up food, just the simple things. And you know, there's going to come a day when a whole lot of people need to go back to work, but where will their kids stay? I don't know what the school districts are going to do, but I don't think they're going to back on campus this academic year. So there will be opportunities for us to be able to minister to people for the longest time. It's going to be a long runway. And we just might earn the opportunity to share the gospel. I don't know who to give credit to, but I've heard it said that we should share the gospel and use words when necessary. The Lord loves us, and He promises us help. Do you believe that God loves you? Well, He does. And He promises that He will be our help. Let's look at the 22nd Psalm. For He has not despised or scorned the suffering or the afflicted one. That's you and me. He has not hidden His face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Everything that you need, everything that you fear, everything God is hearing. Not only is He hearing, but He's responding to. Remember when we talked about patience? We have to be patient and trusting. God does hear our prayers. God is interested in our needs. And He is and will respond to them because He loves us. He promises to help us. He promises us hope. One of the greatest dangers in humanity is when hope is lost. My friends, listen. It's a tough day out there. There's some uncertainty out there, but we should not be people who are wrestling with hope. It's a hopeful day. I have an absolute confidence that this too shall pass. The psalmist says this, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior, my God." I want to say this, and I don't intend this to be braggadocio. I don't mean that at all. I hope it's an encouragement to you. I want you to know that my faith is more sure and passionate and confident right now than it was 3 weeks ago. I'm not asking for the Lord to test my faith. I'm not asking for that. But what I'm telling you is this, is if we lean into the Lord and we trust him, we can find peace and confidence in these days. I know this to be true, one, because God's word says it, but two, it's because what I am personally experiencing, not only am I experiencing it, but I'm hearing others testify to that same experience. He gives us the promise of heaven. Heaven is a beautiful place filled with his glory and grace. One day heaven. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. It's interesting in times like this, we start talking about God and we start talking about faith and we start talking about the life after this life. And I heard a conversation the other day and this individual was proposing, well, you know, basically all roads lead to God and all roads lead to heaven. Well, it's just simply not true. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. The question we need to answer today is this: are we prepared? Are you prepared? I'm going to help you answer that question in just a moment. What does heaven not have? Heaven does not have sin. Heaven does not have illness. Heaven does not have death. Heaven has a lot of things, but these are three things that it does not have. Amen. Amen, Ronnie. Amen. Heaven does not have these things. It will be a wonderful time when those three things are taken out of our life. But what does heaven have? Heaven has healing. Heaven has happiness. And heaven has a home for you and I. One day, whether Jesus comes for us all at once or we go to him one at a time, we will have a healing, happy home in heaven. God loves you because of who God is, not because of anything you did or didn't do. We talked about this in the 9 o'clock hour. Jeff did a great job discussing about the value. Where does our value lie? My friend, God loves you because God loves you. It's not because of what you've done or you haven't done. It's not because of what you will do or you won't do. God loves you. The Bible says, well, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ died for us. God loves us. Now, that's hard for us to understand in the human economics because it's very easy for us to base our love on what people can do or won't do or haven't done to us. But that's not God's economics. God loves perfectly all the time, without bounds, without measure, without diminishing. He loves us. Let me just say this. If you're watching this service today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, my friend, God loves you just as much as he loves me. You say, well, how can that be? You say, I've never heard a preacher say that before. Because God's love is perfect. For God so loved the world. Who's the world? That's you. It's also me. And his love is perfect for you as well as me. We talked a minute ago about being prepared for heaven. It's as easy as ABC. Now, I hope there's kiddos that aren't going to miss learning their ABCs during the time of the virus. But let's look. A. Okay. All right, we're going to be freelancing now. A means that we have to admit that we're a sinner. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And what does that mean? Well, sin is a picture word of an archery range. If you can imagine an archer shooting an arrow in the geometric center of a bullseye, that would be sinless. Everything else would be sin because it wouldn't be perfect. And so what the Bible says that we are all sinners, we cannot be perfect. To be sinless means that you have to be perfect all the time. 100, 100, and we can't do it. The Bible says that all have sinned. You've sinned, I've sinned, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. B means that we believe. What do we believe? Is it important what we believe? It's vitally important what we believe. It's not just that we believe because we believe a lot of things, but it's in whom we believe. The Bible says we must place our faith in Jesus Christ as God's one and only Son. We must believe that he was born of a virgin. We must believe that he lived a sinless life. We must believe that he died on Calvary's cross, not for his sins, but for our sins. We must believe that on the third day, God raised him from the tomb to validate all that Jesus claimed to be. We've got to believe. And then see means to confess. The Bible says if we confess the Lord, confess is a legal term. It means to come into agreement. It means to make a testimony as to who you believe and why you believe. So to be prepared for heaven is as easy as ABC. You must be born again. The Bible says that if we will follow these steps of faith and believe in our hearts, that we can be born again. We've been forgiven of our sins. We can have a relationship with God, and the promises of his word in one day heaven are ours. And if you're here today and you've never done that, my friend, today would be the greatest day of your life to do that. Today would be the day to do it. The Bible says, for today is the day of salvation. Why would he say that? Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. It was just 2 weeks ago when life as we knew it was perfectly normal. It was 2 weeks ago when people were here in the worship center with us. That was just 14 days. We don't know what a day can make. My friend, don't put off till tomorrow what you really want to do today. Don't put off till tomorrow what you really need to do today. Trust in the Lord. Be saved and enter into a relationship with the Lord. And you know what? The time of the virus can be one of the greatest times of your life. Now, for those of us who are believers, I hear a lot of people praying. I hear a lot of people asking for prayer. And that's great. We should. But here's a question I want to ask us. The same God that we're praying to, the same God that we're needing today in a heightened way, is the same God who was there 14 days ago, a month ago. You see, God hasn't changed. The variance in the relationship, the variance in the recognition, the variance in the dependence, the variance is you and I. See, what's different in the circumstances isn't God. It's you and me. We may be finding ourselves dependent and more communicative and more pursuant of God than we were 14 days ago. So the question you and I have to ask is this. Is this change, is this new season something we will seek to keep? You see, our priorities can change. During this time, God can be pushed way up that list. I want to say this. The church has two ways to go during the time of the virus. The first one is it becomes weaker and smaller. There will be people during this season, because they don't have the obligations, because they don't feel the responsibility, they will not stay connected with the Word of God. They will not stay connected with the people of God. They will not stay connected with the worship of God. They will not stay connected. And my friends, they will drift away. I will go so far as to say this. During this season of digital church, there will be people who will not return to the physical campus of their church because they simply drifted away. However, there will be those that I believe that will be closer and more intimate because they have drawn closer. They've made a commitment to stay connected. They've made a commitment to pursue God in a new and different way. The health of the church, the capital C church, and the health of the little c church that is Authentic Life is solely dependent upon the choices you and I make, because God does not change. The only thing that will change in the time of the virus is you and I. We've got to make that choice. We can help our community change. I believe there will be people come to this campus and campuses across our community because of this time. When they're given the opportunity that they may not have taken before, but they'll take now to join together with the body of Christ in the building in which the church resides. We need to pray today that God would take our faith and purify it. We need to pray today that God would make us stronger through this season. And if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, my friend, today is the day to do that. The Bible says that it's by faith we're saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a simple prayer, and it's not the prayer that saves you, it's the faith in your heart. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just a moment, wherever you are, and let's pray together. If you're here today and you would say in your mind and in your heart, Jimmy, I want Jesus. I've thought about it, I've prayed about it. I want a relationship with Jesus Christ like never before. I would whisper a prayer something like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I make mistakes and I've done bad things. But God, I believe in your Son Jesus. I believe that he is sinless. I believe that he died for my sins. And I believe that he's alive because you resurrected him. And God, today, I confess my need of a Savior. God, today, I confess my need of Jesus. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and be the King and the Lord of my life. Come into my life and give me peace and purpose. Come into my life and help me to know you and to love you more each and every day of my life. Come into my life and give me the hope of heaven one day. Jesus, I love you. The Bible says that if that's your prayer today, you have been born again. And this is what I'm going to ask you to do as a way of public confession that you've received Christ, is wherever you are, if you're watching me directly on one of the platforms, or if you're in a watching party, I would like to you to just simply type in your message area, I have trusted Christ as my Savior this morning, and hit send. That is your public confession of Jesus as your Savior. That is biblical. And I would love to have the opportunity to talk to you more about that in the upcoming days. For the rest of us, let us pray that God would purify our faith. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we ask that you would purify our faith. Lord, make us stronger because of the struggle. Lord, make us stronger because of the steepness of the pathway. Father, make us stronger because we have to look to the Word that illumines the pathway more than ever. Lord, make us stronger because we will see and value your presence and your power and your provision in these days. Lord, make your church stronger that the world might be transformed for eternity's sake. Father, we love you and we thank you for the power and the promise of your Word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.